The Lord will provide. It's one of the most repeated promises in the Bible. Why then is it often difficult to believe? Hi, I'm Rob West. Whenever we're tested, we can take comfort in knowing the Lord remains in control and is always faithful. Today, we'll talk about finding peace and contentment in uncertain times. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that God's Word contains many promises. If you use a concordance to look up the word promise or Google Bible and promise, you'll see a long list of verses with God's promises to us, and there are dozens that reassure us that God will provide for our needs. And if we take an honest look at our lives, we'll see that God provides not only for our financial needs by giving us the ability to earn a living, but for many other needs as well. Our family, friends, and our church, for example. God knows that we need all those things, and He provides them. Even one of the names for God found in the Bible contains that promise. In the King James Version, we read in Genesis 22:14, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Other versions translate the Hebrew name Jehovah Jireh as "the Lord will provide." And of course, that's where God provides a ram in a thicket, in place of the sacrifice of Abraham's son Isaac. But something very important preceded God's provision on Mount Moriah: obedience. After waiting a century for a son, Abraham was prepared to offer him to the Lord as commanded. And how do we relate that lesson to the challenges we face today? Well, first, by understanding that nothing's changed. God kept His promise almost 4,000 years ago with Abraham, and He still keeps His promises today. There's no doubt that Abraham feared losing the child that he and Sarah had waited so long to have, but he overcame that fear with obedience. Somewhere, deep down, Abraham found peace in knowing that he was doing God's will by bringing Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah. And that's how we can find peace today, by obeying the Lord. But what does it mean that God will provide? Well, when we obey the Lord, we're acting according to His will, not ours. You see, if you're deeply afraid that God won't keep His promise to provide, there's a good chance that what you really fear is that He won't provide in the way you want Him to provide. Emphasis on want. God promises to provide for our needs, not our wants. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33 and 34, Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms not to be afraid for our daily provision. He says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, when we obey God, we're seeking His kingdom and becoming more like Christ, who was obedient unto death. Now, for our purposes today, let's just focus on obeying or following God's financial principles. These include acknowledging that God owns everything and that we're only stewards or managers of what He gives us. We're to live on less than we earn, pay our taxes, save, and be generous. Why do we do those things? Well, for the same reason we exist, to glorify God. When we follow His financial principles, especially by being generous, we act differently than the world, and that points others to Christ. The Bible may have as many verses on finding peace and contentment as it does on God's promise to provide. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." And in Philippians 4, Paul says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." God knows what we really need even better than we do, and He's provided those things every day of our lives up to this point. So why would we think He won't in the future? our faith isn't blind. When it comes to God's faithfulness to provide, past performance is a guarantee of future results. If you find yourself worrying about the future, my encouragement to you is to take that fear to the Lord in prayer. All right, your calls are next. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Royalty. We don't tend to think of them so much as authority figures anymore, do we? Take the royal family in Britain. We follow what they do, we know their histories and relationships, their successes, their failures, and we attend their weddings, at least from miles away, on a screen like TV or a computer, but they don't lead and guide us. Instead, Christians have a much better king, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the old prophecy from Genesis tells us, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his. What a ruler, what a savior, what a God. Go deeper in God's Word daily with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Bro, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, where's your remote? Alright, here we go.
We're in the same,
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're delighted you're here today and looking forward to taking your questions about anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Brent handling our phones today, and we're looking forward to hearing from you again. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, and we'd love for you to give us a call. Let's dive in today. We'll go to York, Pennsylvania, and welcome Ray to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob.
Hi there.
Take my call.
Sure.
Yes, sir. My question is for my son. He has a chance to purchase his deceased grandparents' home for like the sum of $300,000. He has enough money with what he's getting from the state and what he has in savings for a 20% down payment. The problem is he's only 23 and he has no credit to get a loan. So was looking for some options there.
Yeah, so you said his grandparents are deceased. Ray, who is the owner of the home currently?
It would be two siblings that are in charge of the estate.
Okay.
All right, very good. So the two siblings are related to him? Is that right?
Yes, one is his mother and one would be his aunt.
Okay. And so they own the home 50% owners each, I assume, as a part of the estate?
Well, yes, yeah, not really. It's like to settle the estate, there's I think a total of 10 interest there or whatever, and there's a certain percentage that is was allotted to each interest.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to create a bit more complexity, because if there was one owner who would be willing to do seller financing, then we could avoid going the conventional loan route. The challenge is that with him lacking credit as a young man just starting out, he's going to have a hard time qualifying for a mortgage. And even if he can, the interest rate is likely going to be prohibitive. So typically what I would say is let's avoid buying this home right now. Let's have him rent, begin to establish credit by either, you know, becoming an authorized user on, you know, maybe your account or, you know, look at other opportunities. You could use a credit builder loan. He could get a secured credit card where he puts a certain amount on deposit with his bank or a bank, let's say $300 or $400. They'd issue a credit limit up to that amount. He'd begin charging a budgeted item that gets paid off in full every month, and that's going to be reported. And then over time, as he establishes history and a consistent repayment history of being an on-time payer, then, you know, he'll get that credit over time, which would then allow him to take some time, hopefully continue to build his down payment and hopefully wait for these interest rates to come back down. It's probably going to be a while, but I would say in the next 2 years, you know, most economists are thinking we could end next year somewhere in the mid fives, as opposed to the 7.5 that we're at today, which would be great. But obviously, this is, I would imagine, a unique opportunity. How quickly are his mom and his aunt wanting to get rid of this property?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is because there's other people involved in the will. So that's why I'm not sure how long they're willing to hold out on this.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they do. I know their thoughts. They would really like to see it stay in the family. I know that is part of it, but yeah, at the same time, I'm not sure there where we're at as far as the time frame or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and that makes things complicated, especially when you have multiple owners. I suspect at least some of them, if not the majority of them, want to get out of this property and see this, you know, the proceeds right. come to them that they're entitled to. What is his credit score? Do you know?
No, actually, I guess when he had tried there, he had nothing. I mean, there was nothing come up on him, you know, because he had no kind of where he tried for a loan, they said there was no score there at all. So
yeah, unfortunately, I think unless there's somebody who's willing to step in and buy this, you know, and then finance it back to him through seller financing. So, for instance, if you and your wife could do that, I mean, that would be an option. I wouldn't co-sign for him. You know, that's often what folks are tempted to do, come in and put their name on the mortgage, use their income to qualify with the expectation that he would be the one to actually make the mortgage payments. The Bible repeatedly says we shouldn't do that. You know, Proverbs 22, 26 and 27, very plain, be not one of those who gives pledges, who puts up securities for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? The idea is that it changes the relationship. And despite his best efforts to repay, there could come something, if something could come out of left field that prohibits his ability to pay, which could result in you being forced to take over the payments. And if you and he are unable to do so, now we've got a foreclosure on your hands and that trashes your credit. So I just wouldn't go that route. I think, unfortunately, it sounds like he's either going to have to let it go or somebody else will have to, you know, buy out the other parties that want to get out, and then could, you know, if they had the financial means to do so, offer owner financing to your son and allow him to come in and you know, essentially pay them out over time. And then they could establish a balloon payment on the end, which is basically a certain date where the whole thing is due. And then that would give him time to, prior to that point, maybe that's 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road, establish some credit so that he could then go in and get a refinancing with a conventional loan.
Okay. All right. I know this was, I know cosine is, you know, it's definitely a no-no, but I didn't know in what way we could have helped him out. I could have helped him out or whatever. You know, that's what.
Yeah. I think the only options are cosigning, which I would, I wouldn't encourage, or you buying it and then, you know, again, providing that owner financing back to him where he would then pay you out over time at some stated interest rate. And if it's below market for either the selling price or the interest rate that's charged, then you'd have to report that as a gift over a certain amount to the IRS. Wouldn't be taxable. You just have to let them know that you're doing that. So unfortunately, I don't see an easy way for this to be done, despite the fact that, you know, it sounds like he's saved. He's got that down payment. He's just lacking some credit history. And I realize that can be a challenge, but I don't want to force this because that could, with some unintended consequences down the road, create some problems for you and him. So you guys pray about it. Unfortunately, maybe we need to let it go and let him take some time to build even more down payment and get those interest rates down before he makes that first purchase. But, you know, you him being an authorized user, if you're willing to do that, even if you don't give him the card, is one way to build credit. Keep in mind, if you had a mispayment, that negative information will flow to his credit file as well. Secondly, the credit builder loan or the secured credit card, I would get started on those pretty quickly, no matter which you do, just so he begins to build that credit. So he's ready in the next few years. Hey, God bless you, Ray. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Just after the break, we're going to be talking to Stephen in Tennessee. He wants some advice on beginning to invest. He's opened a Fidelity account and wants to know how he should be thinking about getting started. We'll be talking about that just after the break, and perhaps your questions as well. 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today, if it's building credit, paying off debt, maybe it's investing for the future, how to think about your giving as a New Testament believer, what does it look like to manage God's money faithfully? We'll tackle any and all of that. Plus, I'll finish what I began yesterday about financial what-ifs that lead to fear. What is the antidote to fear from God's word in the midst of this economic uncertainty? I'll weigh in on that just around the corner. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Back on Faith and Finance right after this.
Will you please help 1 million moms reach out to the children's network Nickelodeon? They aired the 2023 MTV Video Music Awards, which featured a flood of barely there costumes and highly sexualized choreography. And it aired at a time when many young children were likely watching. Please sign our petition urging Nickelodeon to never again air the VMAs. Visit 1millionmoms.com and help protect our children. Thank you.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Most Christians only know the Bible at a surface level. We believe it, but do we really know it? I want to invite you to join the Wesley Institute presented by Wesley Biblical Seminary. The Institute's a 9-month program that will give you an in-depth understanding of all 66 books of the Bible taught by seminary professors. You can join live from anywhere in the world or watch the class videos on your own schedule. To learn more, visit wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. My name is Rob West. This is the program where we recognize God owns it all. You're a steward. And the goal, faithfulness. That's right. Faithfulness to opportunity. What are we doing with what we've been given? However little or however much, with Hebrews 13:5 as our focus, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for I have said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's the promise of God. We have an abundance before even the first dollar. Our goal is to be faithful in what God has entrusted to us, using it as a tool to accomplish His purposes, holding it loosely, giving it generously, deploying it strategically, and saving it appropriately. That's what we want to help you do on this program each day. Looks like we've got one line open, 800-525-7000. And let's head right back to the phones to Tennessee. Stephen, go ahead, sir.
Hello, this is Stephen. I called in today because I recently opened a rollover IRA account with Fidelity. And okay. The funds that I have in cash are approximately $2,000 in the account. I only recently just decided to start using the cash in order to invest in the market. I've been kind of waiting because the market's been doing so poorly. I've been waiting to a good time. I'm not sure if this is a good time or not because I used $1,000 of the $2,000 and I invested in MFS Lifetime. And it seems that in just a couple of days, I've lost on that. So I just decided to check with you and get some advice about how to move forward in this market in terms of investing.
Yeah, very good. Do you mind if I ask, Stephen, what is your age?
44 years of age.
Okay. And are you still working?
Yes.
Okay. And are you contributing to another retirement account at work in addition to this?
Yes.
Okay. What percent of your income are you putting into that? Do you know?
It's currently 12% and okay. It increases periodically until I cap it 15.
Yeah, very good. All right. You know, what I would say is, you know, in terms of the timing, there's really just no way to know. I mean, I could tell you if it's a good time to drop it in the market if you could tell me where the market's going from here. The problem is nobody can tell you that. And the reason you've seen some pressure on it is because the market's been selling off as of late. It's been under some pressure just goes because of what's going on in the larger economy, just with bond yields. And we've got some, you know, we got another strong jobs report. We'll talk about that with Jerry Boyer in just a moment. Actually, payrolls soared by 336,000, way above expectations. Many folks were expecting a hiring slowdown. You would think that would be good news, but we live in this upside down world where good news is bad news because that means the Fed is not going to back off in terms of those rate hikes. The market doesn't like that. So we're off another 165 points again today on the Dow. Now, we could be up tomorrow and up next week and or down. The bottom line is, the good news is you have time on your side. You know, as a in your mid-40s, you know, let's say you're working for the next 20 years plus until you ask God what He has for you, you know, in the next season of life.
And so you've got the ability to take a long-term view, even once you, quote-unquote, retire, although we take a different approach to retirement than the culture does. Even once you reach age 65, if you're in good health and the Lord tarries, your life expectancy is at least, you know, 83-plus. So you might have 40 years for this money to grow. So we don't have to worry about what the market's going to do next week or next quarter or even next year, because you're taking the long view. And in fact, if you didn't have at least 10 years, I'd say you shouldn't be in the market at all. But you do. And you've got potentially, you know, four decades that you need this money to last or more. So in light of that, then we can take a step back and say, it really doesn't matter where the market's going from here. What matters is that I have the right allocation, that I have the right investment mix for me. And, you know, I would say you probably want at least 70% in stocks, somewhere between 60 and 70% in stocks at your age, if not more, and the rest in bonds. And that portion, the bond portion, will do well as interest rates fall whenever that happens. And then, you know, the stock portion should perform well over the long haul. Now, you're in a fund that has a conservative focus. And it's focused on income potential, which means they're seeking investments that are going to pay an income, both in the form of, well, most notably in bonds. If you're in a lifetime income fund, that's probably an MFS fund. That's a very highly rated fund. The challenge is, you know, bonds are not the place for you to be, you know, with your entire portfolio, or at least for this portion of it, just given your age. Because basically, you know, this is following the bond index. Bonds have been under pressure, will continue to be under pressure until rates start heading down. So I would probably look at either buying a high quality stock mutual fund, you know, either one that is in the faith-based investing space. And if you wanted to look at one of those mutual funds, like from Eventide or Timothy Plan or Guidestone, One Ascent, Crossmark, you could find those on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click on the show. And those are all sponsors of this program. Or you could put it into one of the indexes, or even what's called a life cycle fund or a target date fund. They have plenty of those at Fidelity where you're at. And basically what that does is it automatically picks the allocation for you so that you're in an appropriate mix of stocks and bonds that's right for your age. So in your mid-40s, it'll automatically give you probably 60% plus in the stocks and, you know, 30 to 40% in bonds. So I would say for me, I would go one of those directions. I like Fidelity where you've got it. So I'd either pick one of the faith-based investing funds if that aligns with your convictions. And again, at faithfi.com, you could find out more about those, or look at a target date fund right there at Fidelity. And you'd pick the target date fund that most closely aligns with when you think you'll retire, probably around age 65. Thanks for your call, Stephen. I hope that helps. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama radio show, beginning daily October 16th on AFR. I'll serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your family. The show begins October 16th, and I can hardly wait to prescribe hope for healthy families. I'll see you there.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones to Tennessee. Jonathan, go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Hey, I appreciate you taking it. Hey, hoping you can clear up a Google dispute between my friend and I. situation is I'm retired from the military, and I had TSP balance, part of it in the Roth, part of it in traditional. And I rolled it over, both of them, into corresponding accounts with Vanguard. Then I took that money that was in a traditional account and converted it into the Roth account. So the question is, in regards to the five-year rules for when that money is available in the Roth account, and kind of part two is, will the Roth rollover, will that whole amount count as a contribution, or will only the amount that I put into the Roth TSP account be available to me? Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. So did you do a conversion, or is it coming out of a Roth TSP?
So I did two things. I did Roth TSP into Roth IRA, and I did the traditional TSP into a traditional IRA. Then I converted that traditional IRA money into my Roth account, the traditional Roth account. So
yeah,
it's two different things.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll tell you my feeling on it. But it gets a little tricky, and I can understand why you guys are wondering about it. And I think at the end of the day, you do need to get a CPA to weigh in on it to make sure you're doing this right. My understanding is that given what you've going on here, that if it's a new IRA, even with old money going in that's already met the 5 years, that you still have to wait the 5 years before you can get that money out. So that the 5-year rule would apply to the Roth IRA on the money as it comes in, even if it had been in the Roth 401k or TSP for 5 years prior to the rollover or the conversion.
Right. So in my situation, the Roth IRA that it all ended up landing in, this is an account that I've had since 2010.
Oh, okay.
So does that change anything as far as that goes?
It does. Yeah. So again, I would double check on this and get a CPA to weigh in. But yeah, so you're saying the Roth has been open for at least 5 years, and the Roth TSP was open for at least 5 years. And so in that case, then I think you would have satisfied it, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what we think. And then the final piece of it is the money that I put into the Roth TSP, my contributions, then there's the gains. So all of that gains and contributions went into a rollover Roth, IRA. The money that I put in, my contributions, I should have access to at any time because of the five-year rule. What
I believe that's
gains that I rolled over?
Yeah, as long as that account had been open for 5 years, you should be able to access those gains as long as you're at least 59 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
So being 59 and a half, it's going to be the gains are not going to be eligible. I'm going to have to basically earmark those gains in that Roth IRA to make sure I don't find myself subject to penalty.
That's right. You would want to make sure you only pull out original contributions.
Okay, perfect. That's what we were thinking.
Yeah, but again, I'd always run this by your CPA before you do it, but I think you guys are on the right track with the way you're thinking about this. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for your service to our country. We're grateful.
Hey, grateful for what you do. Have a good one.
All right, take care. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions. To Texas we go. Hi, Deborah, go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question about debt and about whether or not I should take money out of my pension, my investment accounts. I'm 69 years old. I've been retired about 5 years, and I've just run up about $16,000 worth of credit card debt. My question is, I have a debt that I'm fixing to pay off. I owe one more payment on it, and I'm fixing to pay, well, it's $1,000 a month debt that I'm fixing to pay off. So when I pay off that debt, should I just take that money and apply it to the rest of my debt? Or should I just take the money out of my investment account, pay it off, and just be done with it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I can understand why you're thinking through this. Let me just ask a few questions. Is it one credit card or multiple credit cards that the $16,000 is on?
Cards, but one of the cards I've used for like major things, like the air conditioning goes out and I have to have it repaired. Everything I've done on the big credit card has been major things. Like I need tires for the car. Well, that's $900. Yeah. That's what is on the major credit card.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the only reason I ask is I would love to for you to consider putting this in a debt management program where we can drop the interest rate and then you can shift that $1,000 a month over, get this knocked out, here in, the next, year and a half, and save some interest along the way. The only challenge is, in order to do that, the account's going to have to be closed. And if this is an account you use regularly, are you willing to do that?
You know what? I'm so bad with money. I did that 20 years ago. I had gotten about 5 credit cards, and I probably owed $10,000 in debt. And I actually did a consolidation thing back then. And before I would do that, I would rather take the money out of my investment account, which is just going to hurt me down the road, because that's what I'm living off of. They give me a monthly, payment.
Well, so just to be clear, I'm not talking about a consolidation loan. I don't recommend that because often, even though the interest rates come down, we get a longer payback period and we don't solve the problem that led to the debt in the first place, which is typically overspending. So debt management's different. We leave the debt right where it is. We just get the pre-negotiated lower interest rates. If you go through a nonprofit credit counseling agency, we use ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners. So essentially, you'd make that same monthly payment. You could send the full $1,000. You don't have to pay the minimum, but you'd have a lower interest rate, and that would help you pay it off quicker and save money. But the account does need to be closed, so it couldn't be used for new purchases moving forward, even though we're not paying it off with a consolidation loan. I'd rather you do that and preserve the money you have in the pension just because the market's down right now. I'd love to, for that to be able to recover, you not to have not only that money unavailable for the recovery, but also you'd have added taxes as you pull that money out. So that's where my preference would be to use a credit counseling program and shift the $1,000 a month to pay that off at a lower interest rate. But again, you've got to be comfortable with closing that account.
you know, it scares me to death because I only have like two credit cards, like a MasterCard and a Visa. So it's not like I have, I don't have a big balance of money in the bank to where that if I had another, if my heater went out and I need $1,200, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. That kind
Yeah, so the other option would be to leave it there and let's just pay it off, you know, over time, right out of that existing account, leaving it open at the higher rate and using the $1,000 a month. But I'd probably try to avoid using the pension if it were me. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word, and we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
So great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's Friday, which means Jerry Boyer stops by. A lot to talk about today with the jobs report out. But before we go to Jerry, Chuck's waiting patiently in Texas. Chuck, how can I serve you?
Yeah, Rob, I'm retired just recently, and I was wanting to set up some type of a fund or a trust, like a donor fund where I could just put a fairly large amount of money in a fund and be able to, you know, contribute it to ministries and what would you recommend on that?
Yeah, I like that a lot, Chuck. Let me ask you, where is the funds today that you would be using? Are they in an IRA or are they after-tax dollars in a savings account?
Well, I have some annuities that have, all of them are pretty much, matured out past the date where, you know, you get,
yes, sir.
But anyway, and some are,
go ahead.
Others are in, they're in different accounts. I have savings accounts. I have, don't have that much IRA because I was I'm my own business. And
okay.
I was there for 42 years, sold it. Anyway, I just wanted to put, you understand what I'm wanting to do?
I sure do. Absolutely. So a couple of things with the annuity, if that's a qualified annuity, so that money went in pre-tax, you could roll that out to an IRA and then you could do what's called qualified charitable distributions. So that would be a way of getting that money out of the now IRA, what is today the annuity, without paying any tax on it. And it would go straight from the IRA as long as you're over 70 and a half or when you're over 70 and a half, it goes straight from the IRA to the charity or ministry or your church, and you don't recognize it as income and they get the full amount. And when you have a required minimum down the road, it would satisfy that as well. So that's one option. With the rest of the money, to your point about where can I contribute it and then give it away over time, you're describing my favorite tool for giving, and that's the donor advised fund, where essentially think of this as a charitable checking account, Chuck. You can donate cash to it. You can donate appreciated stock. You can even donate real estate, whatever you have, into the donor advised fund. I'd use the National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com. They call it a giving fund. And once it goes in there, you get the deduction because you've given it away. And then you recommend the grants out of that with the click of a button on their website to whatever, you know, ministry or charity you want. And then they will initiate that giving. So it's just a really effective tool. You'd get the current year deduction, which allows you to bunch the giving in 1 year to get up to where you can itemize the contribution. And then you give it away at your discretion. You could do it all right away, or you could do it over time. And it just becomes a really effective tool. And you also have the ability to give in your name or even anonymously if you wanted to, as it as you recommend the grants out of the DAF. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You said the when it comes out of the annuities into the equality, what'd you say?
Yeah, so let me back up. So the donor advised fund would be great for the cash or any stocks that's after-tax money. But for the annuity, if that money went in pre-tax, what's called a qualified annuity, and you're able to pull it out without surrender charges because it's been in there a while, first thing I'd do is roll it to an IRA, an individual retirement account. Now, once it's in the IRA, you have the ability to do what's called a qualified charitable distribution once you reach age 70 and a half. And that's essentially a distribution from the IRA that's not taxable because it doesn't come to you. It goes straight to the ministry.
Right. Qualified
charitable distribution, QCD, qualified charitable distribution. But with the rest of the money that you're looking to give away, I just drop it into a donor advised fund, what's called a giving fund at the National Christian Foundation. And then you would then grant it out or make recommendations as to where it gets granted at whatever point you want moving forward.
Okay.
All right.
Try to jot those things down real quick while you
No problem. So just to recap, and this is great. I love what you're trying to do here, Chuck. You're rolling the annuity to an IRA, and when you're ready, you're going to do a qualified charitable distribution. You'll just call your custodian and let them know you want to do that, whoever is housing or the custodying the custodian for the IRA. They'll give you the paperwork to do the qualified charitable distribution. And then go set up the giving fund at ncfgiving.com, and then you can make contributions to that. And then whenever you're ready, you recommend the grants out. Hey, God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. If we can help further along the way, let us know. All right, it's time. Jerry Boyer's here. It's Friday, and there's a lot going on in the markets, namely around payrolls and the jobs market. Jerry, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
All right, here we go. The upside down economy. We blew it out on payrolls, and market's selling off, huh?
Exactly. There it is, the upside down economy. Here's the Wall Street Journal headline: hiring surge keeps door open for Fed to increase rates. So what does that mean? That's how good news becomes bad news in the upside down economy or the bizarro world of Keynesian, essentially atheist economics, is, oh no, we're doing all this hiring. Businesses are expanding and they're hiring people and they need workers, and those workers are getting raises, and that's bad because that'll cause inflation, they think. So, you know, what the Fed's going to do is, you know, we were thinking the Fed might be able to start cutting rates in May. That's what the market thought. The market had a basic idea in mind, and the idea was we're probably going to have a recession, and the Fed's probably going to cut rates to get us out of that recession. This jobs report made the market think, maybe we're not going to have a recession. And therefore, maybe the Fed won't be cutting rates. And by the way, raising rates and cutting rates, all that means is contracting the money supply or expanding the money supply. So, you know, with the job market strong, it's more likely the Fed's going to contract the money supply because they think that they have to fight this job surge in order to fight inflation. And that's why good news in the jobs market becomes bad news in the financial markets, because the Fed's way of thinking, and remember, the Fed is the biggest actor by far now. Historically, it hasn't been. You know, historically, the Fed's been, just a small part of the economy and the markets. But basically starting in 2008 with the TARP and the QE and the Operation Twist and a whole bunch of acronyms, and then later with the COVID shutdowns, it became gigantic. And so it's now the biggest investor. So if the Fed's selling, markets think, all right, that's bad. We want to get out. If the Fed's buying, markets think that's good. This is basically saying the Fed's selling and taking money out of the market, and it's going to destroy that money and contract the money supply to try to slow down the economy. So, of course, that means that your recession becomes more likely because they're trying to slow down the economy. And I know that's hard to keep track of, and it's hard to keep track of because it's complicated in some ways, but it's mostly hard to keep track of because it doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I know I've met a lot of people over the years. If I give, speech to a general audience, they say, I don't understand economics. I'm worried about this. It's like, well, I think a lot of the reason you don't understand economics is because in college, the economics they taught you doesn't make sense. The problem isn't you. The problem is the economics. So the idea that the economy is going to overheat, et cetera, that's the academic model that dominates the Ivy League universities. And that's what every Fed chairman or chairwoman has gone through, and that's what they believe. And that's why markets are reacting the way they do, because they know how the Fed is likely to react.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Jerry. We can have mission drift in organizations. We can have mission drift as a nation, too. I was with Peter Greer this week, the author of the book Mission Drift, and he was talking about in 1692, the motto adopted by Harvard University, Truth for the Church and Christ. You won't find that motto today, even though it was in place for 200 years. It's a far cry from where it was when it was founded. And you could say that to be true about our economy and our founders and their original intent, right?
Well, and they're related because Harvard University taught classical economics. John Harvard was a Christian minister, a Puritan minister. He believed in the Puritan, you can call the Christian work ethic.
Yeah.
And that's what built the United States, was that work ethic. And so in early America, the idea was that you get saved, you believe in Jesus, you're not saved by your good works, but you go out and do good works. And those good works are not just church good works. They're farming good works, and they're commerce good works, and they're invention good works, and they're energy good works. And when Harvard abandoned the faith, it was not long after that that Harvard abandoned the classical economic focus on productivity that was based on that faith, on that mandate in the beginning to fill the earth and subdue it. So first Harvard went from Christianity to Unitarianism, and then it went from classical economics to Keynesianism. And now it's not just Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford, they've all made this transition. And so it's mission drift. In some sense, it is, I would put it this way. Once you have a worldview which is distorted from reality, you're going to have a lot of failures. And then you try to fix those failures. And mission drift often occurs when organizations are making mistakes because they've abandoned the faith, and they keep expanding their mission to keep trying to undo the effects of the mistakes they've made rather than going back to the foundation in the first place.
Well said, Jerry. Well, I'm grateful that you haven't had any mission drift along the way, my friend. And we appreciate you stopping by today.
Appreciate you, too. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday with his updates on corporate engagement and the economy. Today, we've been focused on the economy. Jerry reminding us of a biblical worldview. Hey, on behalf of my team today, Brent Creeley, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You have a great weekend. Come back and join us on Monday. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.